Gerhardt's back.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
From NJ1015.com, this is the new Jim Gerhardt Podcast.
Okay. You want to switch gears for a second?
Sure.
Because I've got this high on my list. Chris says, happy station birthday. What do you think about Murphy lecturing us in New Jersey about ethics, but won't release the women from his campaign from their no disclosure arrangement? I saw this, and I've got it here, the story, somewhere among my treasures here. Yeah, I said, I guess what I wrote down, my first one, is that Governor Murphy has seen the light. He probably fell off his Bentley on the road to Damascus or something with a blinding light. And he now is pushing for updating the state's laws against workplace sexual harassment for public and private employers. The bill spearheads a series of hearings into the toxic culture of New Jersey politics. And yet the governor is, according to the story, among the changes Murphy endorses is language that makes it clear a hostile work environment can be created by a single incident, and that harassment need not involve physical touching. The behavior we are targeting has gone on for too long, and on it goes. So he's becoming the champion, the myrmidon of, and yet his own campaign was apparently, we are told, rife with it. And the people who were the victims have been, caused to sign a no-disclosure agreement about it. And I was surprised to find out this morning that's still going on. They still haven't resolved that. He imposed that on them. So he's saying, okay, this is a terrible thing. We're gonna wipe it out. We're going to stop it. Except, of course, in my campaign, you know, that was...
Everybody else.
Yeah, that was important to my campaign. I mean, so that's an exception to it. But, yeah, that would seem a tad... Dan, you know, how did he... I'm sure there was criticism of that. It must have come up during this... Oh, okay, here we go, from the story. Asked repeatedly about these issues, Murphy repeated the general apology he has issued previously and pledged to do better. Well, then release them from the vows.
Right. Well, there's some debate about whether or not he really has. Julie Roginski, who was a political consultant who left his gubernatorial campaign in 2018, she claims that she was told and pressured not to speak about her allegations.
Uh-huh.
Right after, so she talked to Tom Moran of the Star-Ledger. After that column appeared, the governor actually issued a statement, and she acknowledged that she had received a letter from the governor saying, "Yes, you can speak it. So I release you from the document." But even now,
but that's recently.
Yes.
Yes.
But even now, there's still some doubt as to whether or not, you know, there's still people who are still wary of whether or not they can really tell their story without repercussion.
Yeah. Well, you know, the usual way politicians deal with this, he did not, apparently, so that's to his credit, is you just pay him off.
Well, there is that.
That's how the biggies handle it. The real big
The professionals.
Yeah,
yes.
The professionals handle it that way. So, other thing going on in New Jersey, first, Eric Scott has a piece that was just posted, I believe, on the website. Please look at this. This goes back to talking about going down the memory lane in New Jersey. The State Commission of Investigation, which has always been an extremely competent group who comes up with brilliant analyses of corruption and corrupt practices in New Jersey, but has no power to enforce it. All they can do is turn their findings over to the legislature, who promptly sweeps it under the rug. But they went back and took a re-look at a matter that they examined back in 2009. And that was about these big salary perks, the unused sick days, and you know, this whole scam, the pension scam, how people get around caps and restrictions. And they're still milking the public treasury to hand out all sort of gratuities to their supporters and their friends, their homies, the politicians. And this goes down to the local level, too. And so this says, towns are giving up big salary perks, driving up your taxes, an analysis by the State Commission of Investigation. Read that. Some of the most ridiculous things, when they first came out with that, I don't know that they were sticking that strictly with the locals, but they were mostly working on the higher level pension pigs and the like, and found out, the especially one was the unused sick days, that a person retiring, and this was very big in the police, if you want, but that whole law enforcement area, and also officials, county officials and the like. And you could claim at the end of your job, when you're retiring, you could claim back pay for unused sick days.
And there was no
cap.
Well,
it was amazing. Nobody ever was sick.
And there was no cap on it.
There was no cap. Oh, no. Heavens no, there was no cap. People were going out with huge fortunes. It became known as the boat check.
The boat check, yeah.
You go buy your yacht when you got through with this. And so, but
5 years of unused sick days.
But what happened was, if you had worked for the state for 30 years, say, or 20 years even, you were not making nearly as much back when you did not use the sick day as you are making now, but you got paid at the current scale.
You got your sick time got valuated to current
exactly.
Current
so
conditions.
A person who had worked himself up in the system and he was making a very high salary, a day's pay is considerable.
Like a
right
day
now.
And a half, yeah.
But if you go back to the 80s or 70s or something, whatever, even into the 90s or more, then he was making probably a tenth of that. Mm. Because most people, you know, salaries did go up almost tenfold from back in the 60s until the present. But you can claim it at the present rate. And also, nobody was ever sick. It was amazing how many sick days they came up with. One instance that I do remember is one notable person had claimed sick pay. He claimed that he had worked from home. That's what it was. That's how he was. And it turned out that was a sick day, but he had worked. No, he worked from the hospital bed. That's
right. Yeah. Yes,
really,
right.
Really. And one day he spent the whole day in the hall on a gurney, you know, being thumped around, and he claimed it as a work day. Well, his thing was, well, I was thinking about it. Yeah. So read Eric's article. Yeah. It's on NJ1015.com.
And he's also hosting a town hall tonight, this Thursday, February 20th, about the issue of prisoners being re-entering society, right, Dan?
Yes.
Yeah. And that's tonight.
At
and
7
that,
o'clock.
One of his guests is an old friend of ours, former Governor Jim McGreevy.
That's right.
Who was the most productive governor. This is one of the great ironies of the last 30 years when we've been at our eye on the politics. It was only during the 3 years of Jim McGreevy's administration that anything really productive for the citizens was done. This was the reform of the Motor Vehicle Commission. It was the old DMV at the time, which was horrible. Car insurance reform. They got Easy Pass working because the previous administration, Republican administration, had given out the contract for Easy Pass to a company that couldn't handle it, but they could handle making a big contribution to the Republican Party. They were very good at that, but not so good at Easy Pass. And so this was the last state on the East Coast, anyway, to get that straightened out. Right. He also hired Colonel Fuentes as head of the state police, which I thought was a masterful stroke after a little rocky start in that department. But all these things were done. And all these things were things people were yelling about. Property taxes, no. I guess it's unfortunately the governor just cannot say, I'm going to reduce property taxes, right. Although they all campaign saying they're going to.
And I would
but
say
these things were done during his 3 years. And since then and before then, nothing of any profile.
And I think he had a very good working relationship here with everyone here at New Jersey 101.5.
Yes.
He holds the distinction of being the only sitting governor to ever fill in for you on the morning
That's
show.
That's right, he did fill in.
You're on vacation or off for a couple of days.
God,
and
we had Jim
come in.
That was fun.
Jim for Jim.
Somebody whoever's screening the phone would say, governor's on the air. So I'd push the button and say, Jimmy, hello! And he'd come back, Jimmy, hello, how are you? And going, and we'd have these great conversations.
He did the Ask the Governor show on a regular basis with Eric. He was always stand-up, and it wasn't the most comfortable topic sometimes, but he came in and he faced the audience.
He was so good to work with. David Matthau, our ace reporter, once said, we're talking about him. I think he was at an event where we were, and we were, you know, kind of ragging him a little bit. And he meant this as a compliment, really. He said he's kind of like one of these big inflatable toys. You know, kids knock it down, it comes right back up again. you can't throw him. He's on top of everything. Anyway, good heavens, that's good. He'll be on with Eric tonight.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I got, oh boy, there's so many things here.
Did you say something before we went on about you don't think that the millionaires, if they're taxed under Murphy's new plan, you want to talk about that? Are they going to leave the state? You said
no. They're not going to leave the state. And as a matter of fact, I'm not sure what I did with that. Here we go. I'll do this quickly. Maybe we'll pick it up again next week, because there's so doggone much here, and we're getting toward the end. I also want to do a recap, because last week we talked all the way through, and I didn't get back to the teaser that was run about how you owe the government $14,000.
Oh, right.
So maybe next week I'll get into that again.
The whole thing.
Okay, here is the thing. The millionaires tax. In New Jersey, just quickly, we have 9 million people in the population. According to the best of estimates, there are, now this is amazing, 293,992, make it, round it off to 300,000 millionaires, people filing or family incomes of over $1 million. And so that, okay, so we have, well, let's say 300,000 millionaires. Now, according to the best records that can be gotten, in New York and New Jersey together, 5,700 of these people left the state last year. Now, in New Jersey, because this includes New York, let's say half of them. So let's say 3,000 people, 3,000 millionaires left New Jersey. Now, I don't know how many, why they left. This does not say they all left because of high taxes.
Right.
They left because of better jobs. They got transferred, retired. Many things happened. So anyway, no more than 1% of millionaires left the state
because of whatever reasons.
And so taxes, obviously, they are a reason. And one of the reasons fairly recently is when the government had put a cap on the deduction for property taxes. I think it's, what, $10,000 now, Dan?
Yeah, $10,000.
Okay. I'll go with that.
But some of the, now the governor, for example, is paying, I read, $200,000 a year in property taxes. And so people in that category, and it's capped at $10,000, that might cause them to take notice.
Yeah.
But the point is that as far as records can tell, only 1%, and it's actually one half of 1%, because that 1%, well, okay, let's say the New Jersey share, which we're going to call 3,000, give New York the other 3,000. And so that is 1% of the millionaire population of New Jersey left the state, moved from the state for whatever reason. And there were many reasons other than just property taxes or taxes in general. So the person, I think it was a lady named Sue Altman, who's executive director of the New Jersey Working Families Alliance, was talking about this, taxes, how, you know, the imbalance of income and all. She said, she's talking about raising taxes for the richest New Jerseyans. She said, quote, they will not leave the state. And she's right. She's absolutely right on. At least they have not as of now. So much for that.
Right.
Okay. Oh, there's so much stuff here and so little time.
But, you know, wrapping up with the 30th anniversary celebration, thanks to the hundreds of people who have been employed here and colleagues over the last 30 years. We've had 4 great program directors, starting with Perry Simon, to Lee Jacobs, to Eric Johnson, and now to Ann Gress, doing a great job of keeping the format humming and keeping it very, very relevant for all the people here in New Jersey.
And also, these are good people. Yeah. I've been doing this a long time. You know, I've been doing this 60 years, 63 years. No, from the first time I went on the air, way back in my callow youth. And I, you know, you meet all kind of people, but I've never been in an environment where there are this many really good, solid people, citizens.
Yeah,
it's been an enormous pleasure and an honor to be able to work in a such a congregation, really.
And to serve the people of New Jersey.
That's exactly right. But what made the station, you're talking about what made the station, it's the people. It was the listeners and the callers who actually made the station, because this was interactive. And so you have to say that the audience was part of the act. And so we thank you for that. We thank you for 30 years of being with us.
Yeah.
Thank you very, very much. Yep.
And here's to many, many more.
And have
we ain't done yet.
Yeah, have yourself a great next 30 years.
Yeah. Gerhardt's back.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
From NJ1015.com, this is the new Jim Gerhardt Podcast.